Now we come to chapter 17, and in this we have some things that we can pass over rather hurriedly. He gives them a lesson here in forgiveness. He said unto the disciples, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. That is a severe thing that he said. I'll be honest with you. I think that I'd rather be most any person than one who's selling drugs to these young people today. I honestly believe the punishment of a person like that will be worse than any other. I can't think of anything worse than that. To cause a little one to offend. There are going to be some parents today. A man asked me once, he said, you made the statement that there's something worse than going to hell. And there is. You know, the thing that's worse than going to hell is to go to hell and have a son say to you, Dad, I'm here because I followed you. May I say to you, that's the worst thing that can happen to any person. Now, he is very severe here. There are those that talk about the gentle Jesus. Read some of these passages and you'll find out how gentle he really was. He was gentle. He was with those children, but not for those who offended them. And now he gives a parable here, verse 7, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather send him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I've eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. And let me make an application of that right here. There are those today that think that because they say they try to follow the Sermon on the Mount, they are a good neighbor, and they try to love people. They don't really measure up, but they say that just the same. And they think someday God's going to pat them on the back and say, oh, what a nice little boy are you, like that little boy that he reached in his thumb and pulled out a plum, and he said, what a smart boy am I. And may I say to you, friends, if you kept the Ten Commandments and if you did keep the Sermon on the Mount, which you do not, but if you did, you'd only do what you're supposed to do. Do you think that you get salvation for that? Why, my friend, that's what you're supposed to do as a creature of God. We need to recognize that salvation is a gift and you don't work for it at all. And these are things that you're supposed to do. Then he gave the parable of the 10 lepers. Not a parable. It's something actually happened. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And you see now he's drawing near there. And let me just lift this one out. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And again, the Pharisees winced at that one. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. In other words, his sins are forgiven. The others were healed but not saved. That's an interesting thing. This man, because he came back. You know that today thankfulness is that which must be in a Christian's heart. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Do you go there to worship God and to thank Him? Well, that's part of your worship, is to thank Him. And that's about the only thing that you and I can give God, is our thanksgiving, just to thank Him. How wonderful it is. We're to even make our requests with thanksgiving unto God. Everything should be done with thanksgiving, and we ought to have a thankful heart toward Him. What a tremendous thing this is. Then he speaks of the fact that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here or there, for behold, the kingdom of God's within you. Now, who's he talking to? Well, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Now, he's not saying the kingdom of God's inside those Pharisees. I'm sure you don't believe that. What he's saying, the kingdom is in their midst, in the person of Christ. He was right there in their midst. That's what he's saying here. Now, we are told in this last part of this chapter, and I'm not going into it because we've had this before, and we'll have it again, and that has to do with the fact that he's coming. He says, verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that's when he comes to this earth to set up his kingdom. They are told here that there will be no warning given to them. The whole thought is that they should be ready at any moment because he might come. And that, of course, is true for the believer today, that we might be taken out at any time.